Erev Shabbos, 2nd of November, Rabbi Anthony Manning, who was the real Keturah?
Good morning, Rabbi Tzai. It's wonderful to be here on a flying visit to London for 48 hours or so. And this is certainly one of the choshuva stops on the way. So I wanted to speak to you. I understand that it's appropriate to speak about the Parsha on Erev Shabbos in the Torah way, so I'm very happy to do so, even though normally I focus on halachic issues. Maybe we'll slip a few halachic issues in along the way, but I wanted to speak today to you, with your permission, about Keturah. Because Keturah is one of these slightly unknown Parshas. Why is she there? What is she meant to be teaching us? Who was Keturah? And I'd like to address these issues in the next 30 minutes or so, maybe looking at some Shad Rush, maybe even a little bit of Remez and a touch of Soid, insofar as we understand it, and to get a picture as to who was the real Keturah. So if you look at number one, the Psukim are very straightforward. There are only three or four Psukim. Vayosef Avram Vayikach Isha Ushma Keturah. Avram took another wife whose name was Keturah. Vatelid loy es Zimran, ves Yachshan, ves Madon, ves Midyan, ves Yashbak, Yishbak, ves Shuach. She had a number of children. The most interesting one to us, of course, is Midyan, because Midyan features strongly throughout Jewish history going forward. But Yachshan, he goes and say who Yachshan had, these are the children of Bnei Midyan, etc. And if you pick it up in Hay, just a couple of lines down, it says, Vayitin Avram es kol asher loy li Yitzchak. Avram gave everything he owned to Yitzchak. Ulivnei ha-pilagshim. To the sons of the concubines, Asher Avram, that Avram had, Nafan Avram Matanois, he gave them gifts. Vishalchem me'al Yitzchak b'noi ba'adenochai, he sent them from Yitzchak while he was alive, Kedma, to the east, El Eretz Kedem. That's it, that's all it says. The Shaila is, who was Keturah? Who were the Pilagshim that he talks about? He gave to the Pilagshim Matanot, and why is he sending them away? So if you ask anybody, I'm sure all of you in this room are familiar with the Rashi, who was Keturah? Keturah was Hagar. But I'm afraid that is only the beginning of an enormously more complex structure that we need to get into. Have a look at number two. Rashi, very famous. Who was Keturah? Keturah is Hagar. Then, so why is she called Keturah? Because Rashi has a problem. If she's Hagar, she should be called Hagar. So Keturah, he brings two midrashim. The Nikra is Keturah al-Shem she'no'im ma'aseh ke'ketoyah. She had beautiful masim. She was a tzaddiket, this Keturah. And her masim were the sweetest Keturahs, which is already a bit of a shaila, because Hagar, when she departs in last week's Parsha, she is nishkenker tzaddiket. She goes off to do her avodah zorah back to Mitzrayim, and all of a sudden she re-enters the scene as a tzaddiket. What happened? And he brings another pshat, it's probably because of the kasha on that pshat, because kashra pitcha shelon niz davga la'odam yom shepir shemei Avram. But she was a tanua, she didn't marry anybody else. Keturah means she was restrained from a kasher, she was tied up, and she didn't marry anybody else until she came back to Avram. So the problem, as I say, with Rashi's chat is, how did Hagar turn into Keturah, into this woman who was clearly a tzadekis? And in fact, Aderech HaPshat, the Rashbam, says very clearly, Rashbam is, of course, very famous for arguing on his grandfather Rashi, saying that Rashi's concept of chat was not his concepts of chat, and the famous comment at the beginning of Parshas Vayetzi there, where he says he argued with his grandfather, and he complained that Rashi's Perush al HaTorah was not chat-based enough, and Rashi says, I was moided to him, he agreed, and if he had time, he'd do it again, more chat-based. That's a whole very interesting interchange between the Rashbam, the Einikul, and the Rashi, the grandfather, the Zayda, that you need to see there. But here, the Rashbam says, Lefi Apshat, Ein Ze Hagar. It's not Hagar. This is not Hagar. This is someone completely different. In which case, what is the function of this wife? Why is she being married at this stage? It's not Hagar. What is at the back of this debate slightly is a subtlety that we may have missed. I brought you a source in number 4 from the Beremayim Chaim. Where do we see that she was a tzaddikus, apart from the word Keturah? See, isn't it interesting? A tzaddikim shmam koidem lahem. There's a principle when we're introduced to people in Chumash and Nach, where does it give the name? Does it say the name was Keturah, or Keturah was the name? So he says, Tzadikim, the word and his name, or and her name, precedes the name. Ushmoy Mordechai, Ushmoy Elkanah, Vavachulia, similar to that. Doimim, Leboyeram, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kiriyachal, he says, Ushmi Hashem, my name is Hashem. So there, Doimim Hashem. Alkein, Mishmidanema, Kan, Ushma Keturah. So here you see, it says, Ushma Keturah, her name was Keturah. Shemoyre al bechinat tzaddikim. This is obviously the way we speak about tzaddikim. Mechlas shinayim maaseh ke'keturah. So this is very significant place for Keturah. She was a tzaddikess. It says Ushma Keturah. And therefore this is perhaps lying behind the debate as to who exactly she was, whether she could have been Hagar, whether she couldn't have been Hagar. The Ramban's position, I brought you in number 5, is also like the Rashbam's, that this was not Hagar. This was a different wife. In fact, it's really only Rashi that says this was Hagar. Many of the Rishonim say this was a completely different wife. He brings in number 5, we'll pick a few bits out of this. Ulebnei ha-pilag shem ha-shel ha-avrom, al-derech ha-pshat, al derech ha-pshat, on a basic pshat level, ba-avu shenem aloi ki b'yitzchak yikura lo zera. Since Yitzchak is the main son and the inheritor of Avram, loy bezera acher, and nobody else, how you call nashav et loy pilagshim. Everybody else, Keturah, Hagar, they were called pilagshim. The loy haya nechshavas lenashim, they weren't considered full wives. She ain't zaran b'Yerusha, because their children didn't inherit. Ki Hagar shivcha sara pilagsho haisa. Hagar was really a pilagesh. She was a shivcha sara. Aval Keturah leisha lakachla. Keturah was on a higher darga than Hagar. Keturah was a real wife. Not on the darga of Sara Imenu, but Sara was a real wife. Keturah was also a wife whose children did not inherit. And Hagar was never, she was a Pelegas. But you see very clearly from the Ramban here that Hagar and Keturah were two different people. In fact, this is based on a fundamental machlokes in Chazal. I brought you in number 6. There's a major machlokes who she was. Says the Medrash Tanchuma here. He Hagar, he Keturah. It's the same person. Divrei Rebbe, this was the pshat of Rebbe Yudah Anasi. But Rabbi Seinu Oimrim, and the rest of the Chachamim said, even then it was more a das yochid against the rabbin. Even then the rabbi said, Isha Cheres Natal, she was a different woman entirely. Matam Shel Rebbe, why does Rebbe focus, and Rashi picks on this, why does Rebbe focus on the fact that she could have been Hagar? Where is there an indication in the text that she could have been Hagar? Everything seems to point away from her being Hagar. Where does Rashi see this, and where did Rebbe see this? It says here, Shiksiv, the Yitzchak ba mi bo be'er l'chai ro'i, a very famous and beautiful medrash which is brought by Rashi. The Yitzchak brought Hagar, or Keturah rather, back from be'er l'chai ro'i to marry Avram, just as Avram was interested in finding a wife for his son, so the son was interested in finding a wife for the father. And who do we find was living in be'er l'chai ro'i? Oysa shiksev ba, and we see about the same place. Al kain korol be'er le'be'er l'chayit ro'i. Hagar is the person who gave the name to the place be'er l'chayit ro'i. She was the place that was where she lived, and therefore Chazal, Rebbe here, and Rashi, following his footsteps, picks on that and says, "Oh, this must be Hagar because that's where she lived," and that's where they get the pshat that Hagar is Keturah. But as I said, it's a major machlokes, and there's a whole debate here who exactly she was. Number 7 and 8 I want to look at quite quickly. The different Mefarshim follow their own Shitot. Who are the Pilakshim? Later on he says, and he gave the sons of the Pilakshim Matanot. So Rashi says an interesting thing. Rashi says in number 7, Chasak Siv, it says Pilakshim Chasar without the Yud. Now interestingly in Al Sefer Torah it does have the Yud. So Rashi had a version which was without the Yud. I'm not getting into that right now. Shaloi Haisa Ela Pilagesh Echa. Again, the Shitasoi, it was one Pelegesh, Zu Hagar, Zu Keturah, He Hagar, He Keturah, and it's the same woman. Whereas the Rashbam says no. Number 8, following his Shita that we saw earlier, that it's a different woman. No, the Pilagshim is Hagar, U Keturah, two different people. Very interesting. I brought you in number 9, something which is a little bit more, a little bit less known, and from after this point we'll go into things a little bit more deeply, looking at the function of Keturah rather than who she was. Look at number 9. The Zohar says here, very interesting thing. Now, I don't have any pretense at understanding anything like the Amkus of this Zohar, but at least it says the following. Avuan kula baraza chada azlu. The Avois all went down the same track. They were all in the same remed, the Raz, the same secret. V'kul husham shu ba'ar benoshim. Each one of the Avois married 4 wives. Kol chad minan, every single one of them. Avram ba'arba. Avram married 4 wives. Who were the 4 wives of Avram Avinu? Sarah, the Hagar, the Trey Pilashim. The Zohar understands that actually Avram Avinu had 4 wives, which is, I don't think 2 people have ever really come across this. Sarah Hagar and the 2 Pilashim. Diksiv ulivnei Pilashim ashele Avram, Pilashim Trey, Ha'arba 2 Pilashim plus Hagar plus Sarah, that's 4 wives. Yitzchak, now how's he going to get Yitzchak married 4 wives? Yitzchak, Barazah the Arba, he married 4 wives. The sitra of the Rivka, Diksir Vayikach Etz Rivka, Chad, one element of his marriage was Vayikach Etz Rivka, Vatehi Loli Isha, she was his wife, Trey, that's 2, Vyaveha, plus, and he loved her, that's 3, And he was comforted for his mother. You know, on some level, I see Kabbalah, and again, you have to go to a local mekubal to get a pshat in this, what this means exactly. I'm not the person to speak to on this, but on some certainly deep level, there were four emanations, and they're talking a lot about the tikkunim that Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov was doing by marrying either four women or four aspects of Rivka, whatever. And of course, Yaakov Avinu was poshet. He married four women, Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, Zilpah. So here you see a range of different opinions as to exactly how many wives Avram had. Either according to Rashi, two, Sarah and Hagar, or Hagar was a Pelegesh. According to the Rashbam and the Ramban, three, Sarah, Hagar, and Keturah. And according to the Zohar, four, Sarah, Hagar, Keturah, and somebody else who we don't know the name, whose name we don't know. Fine, moving on from there to a level a little bit deeper. What is the function of Keturah? What is she teaching us? So I brought you here a very fundamental idea in number 10 from the Sifri. Have a look here. Kesheba Avram Avinu le'olam yotzach mimenu psoiles. When Avram Avinu came into the world, he was chosen to be the new spiritual leader of the Jewish people, and to run the spiritual focus, if you like, and destiny of the world. But there was an element of psoiles, there was an element of waste or something, negativity that he needed to get rid of in his neshama. Who was that? Yishmael. Yishmael v'chol b'nei Keturah. The purpose of the Yishmael's birth, of the Ma'ish to Hagar, and the purpose of the b'nei Keturah, the Ma'ish to Keturah, was to remove from Avram Avinu this element of psoiles on whatever level that can be understood. Similarly, by Yitzchak le'olam, Yitzchak came to the world, Yotzei mimenu psoiles, and he also had an element of psoiles in his neshama, which was Esav, the kol alufi Edom, and all the tribes of Edom. Chazru li Yisraim, Yotzei mimenu rishonim, and they were even worse psoiles than the earlier psoiles. Ukeshebai Yaakov, but when Yaakov came, lo Yotzei mimenu psoiles. Yaakov was Ishtam, he was Shalein, he didn't have any psoiles, and therefore from Yaakov, the Bnei Yisrael were able to be built. But Avram and Yitzchak had to go through this process of giving off psoilus. And I brought you here in number 11 a very beautiful Shem Mishmul. The Shem Mishmul says the following. That the B'nai Keturah and the Yishmael were this psoilus. He asked a very interesting question. If the purpose of getting rid of this psoilus is to refine the neshama of the Jewish people, so the B'nai Keturah should have been... We should have got rid of him before Yitzchak was born, so Yitzchak can be born in a state of greater purity. Why wasn't Yitzchak born without this psoilus of the B'nai Keturah? And he gives a beautiful answer. This is giving us an amazing insight to the Maila of Avram Avinu. It's understood. Psoilus is a relative issue. This negativity is only judged as negativity relative to the level on which the person is holding. What's considered psoilus for a tzaddik is not considered psoilus for someone who is great. It's not considered psoilus. On my level, it's considered normal, and on his level, it's considered to be already psoilus because he's on a much higher level than me. The Al came, therefore, that's an amazing thing. That Avram Avinu was on a lower level before Yitzchak was born. Whatever this negativity represents of the B'nai Keturah, that wasn't yet in Avram Avinu's neshama considered to be negative, because he wasn't yet on the level where that showed up as a stain, if you like. We'll get back to that soon, that the B'nai Keturah have to do Mila. The Yishmaelim ain't chayav Mila. Interestingly, the Yishmaelim, we'll see soon, do not have a chayav of Mila, according to the Torah. But the B'nai Keturah were already on a higher level, they had a chayav of Mila. The Har Yishmael Nishavim Psoilet, like Abi B'nai Keturah. Aval Ba'asha Avram Hayaholech Midarga Ledarga. Avram Avinu did not rest on his laurels. Avram Avinu, at every stage in his life, was going higher and higher and higher and higher. But Avram Zochim Bobi Yamim, and by the time we see Avram here at the end of Parshas Chai Sora, he's on an altogether different level, even compared to the amazing level that Avram was on in Lech Lecha Vayera. And therefore now, at this stage in his life, something shows up as psoilus that didn't register as psoilus before, so now he has to get rid of that. It's an amazing insight into spiritual growth. that the battles that one is fighting as one gets older and older should be more and more, they're not any easier, but they should be more and more refined. If one's still dealing with the same issues age 60 as one was age 20, then there's something happened in between that shouldn't have happened, or not something that didn't happen that should have happened. And therefore Avraham Avinu is growing constantly, and therefore the B'nai Keturah represent this idea of giving off this soilus. This is a beautiful Shem Mishmul, which gives an insight into the exponential growth of Avraham Avinu through these three parshas. He's not the same person at the end as he was at the beginning. That's one aspect of Keturah. A second aspect of Keturah I brought in 12 and 13 is less well known. Have a look at number 12. V'shalash Noshim Nasal Avraham. Avraham married three women. He's going down the route of the Ramban and the Rashbam. Who were they? It's very nice. Sarah Bitu Shel Shem. Sarah was from Mishpachah Shem. Keturah Bitu Shel Yefeth. Keturah was from the family of Yefeth. And Hagar Bitu Shel Cham. And Hagar was from the family of Cham. Avraham Avinu had to take these three wives in order to make a hashlama of some kind, to reunite Shem, Cham, and Yefeth, and rebuild from them. Why? So see number 13. So the Medrash Tanhuma says in number 13, that was what we read in 12 was the Yalkut Shmoni. Number 13 says as follows: Am Rebbe Levi, Hushakodesh Baruch Hu Amar Lo V'Nivruchu V'Chakol Mishpachos Ha'Adama. Through you, all the peoples in the world will receive a bracha. She'ala Elokim B'Dor HaFloga V'Hitzitz Mehen Shloishim Mishpachos. That in the Dor HaFloga, which Avraham Avinu was a young man when the generation of the dispersion of the Tower of Babel took place, there were 30 mishpachas which were lost to the world of the 70 that we had coming out of Noach at the beginning of Parshas Noach. It is a different nusach. Shiyotza hayam the Dora Flogger. There was a mini flood, says the Medrash in the Dora Flogger. The hitit b'bnei chom shloshim mishpachas, and we lost shloshim mishpachas, 30 mishpachas. Shenem aviyifet Hashem oisam. Amar Rebbe Levi, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem says to Avram, Mimcha ani ma'amidam. Interesting. That it's not just that Avram is the spiritual source of the new building of a new world, but even the physical source. He says, I'm gonna build these 30 families back into the world from you. The Nivruchu V'cha doesn't just mean you will be a spiritual bracha for the world, it means that you will rebuild the world. Behib Baram, a very famous Rasha, Behib Baram Ba'Avraham, it's the same words when the world was created. Avram was responsible in many ways for being the tachlis of the creation of the world. The Hemid Mimen and Shloshim Mishpachas, and then the Medrash counts them out, the extra 30 families, they came out, the Eluhem Yud Beis Nasim Shemid Mishmael, so 12 families from Mishmael, the Shesh Yisrael Bibnei Keturah, and 16 from Keturah, and he goes on to make a Cheshbon of 30. But you see from here that the function of reading about Keturah is to show us how Avraham Avinu completed, if you like, recompleted the 70 families of the world, which allowed then Yitzchak and Yaakov to get on with the spiritual mission of building the Jewish people. Again, an idea which I think is not so well known, but it comes to explain the function of Keturah in this week's Parsha. The last idea on the functionality of Keturah, I brought in number 14, a very interesting and beautiful Kli Yakar. Pick it up two lines in, the Yesh Lonu. He asked a very interesting question, Kli Yakar. The Yesh Lonu Liten Tam. Lama Kara Akshah Keturah Al Shem Ma'aseh. He's going down Rashi's chat. The Keturah is Hagar, and he's saying, what happened to him? Like we asked before, why is she suddenly called Keturah? It's complete contradiction to what Rashi said in last week's Parsha. She went back off the Derech. Keturah went back off the Derech to back to Avodah Zorah. He threw her out because of the erva in her of Avodah Zarah. Kasha, Eichazah V'lachah. How could you remarry her again? This is a kasha on Avraham Avinu. You threw this woman out, she was an Oved Avodah Zarah, and then as soon as Sarah died, you remarried her again. This is a strange way to go on. Al tein balataritz v'lomisha after tshuva. Therefore, we see that she did tshuva. Now, this is history. The Ketores, the Pasha of Ketores, is the Pasha of a Balak tshuva. Of a Balas Tshuva Supreme. Wow. We'll see what it says here. Kama Yishmael Bana. Just like Yishmael. We never think of Yishmael as the picture of a Baal Tshuva. But we see here that he is. Sha'afa Gamken Tshuva. He also did Tshuva. That's also a Rashi on this week's Parsha when he buried Avraham Avinu. He did Tshuva. Kedei Lefarsem Zeh. And in order to publicize this fact to the world, that this woman was the epitome of the Baal Tshuva, Kara Avram Shema Keturah. Avram called her Keturah. Her name was Hagar, but he gave her a new name. Al Shem HaKetoris, because of the Ketoris, why? He prayed to the Kosher Asa Tshuva. He wanted to make a public demonstration to the whole world that this is what can happen when a person does Tshuva. B'chol Baal Tshuva Nasim Loi Hazadoinis Kizachuyas. And then he gives a beautiful insight here, that with a Baal Tshuva, a person, we see the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, a person's Averis can actually become mitzvah if a person does Tshuva Mi'ava. Hazadoinis Oilim L'Reyach Nichoyach Kamoya Tshuyas. And even the Averas become like a Reach Nichoyach, become a praise for that person in the eyes of Hashem. Al Kain Himshila L'Ketoris She'Hachelbana, because therefore he compares it to Ketoris, because Ketoris has within it, I'm sure people are aware, the Chelbana. And the Chelbana stinks. The Chelbana has a terribly bad smell. She'Reichu Ra, Oile L'Reach Nichoyach, but it's part of the whole Reach Nichoyach that goes up to Hashem, K'Kol Shahar B'Samim, with the other B'Samim. Very interesting idea, that the Baal Tshuva's Averas, once he does Tshuva, the Averas themselves become the springboard for a closer relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you want to know why are we reading about Keturah, Keturah is the Baal Tshuva of this parasha. And again, we don't always think of her in that way. We think of Baal Tshuva, Yehuda is Moideh, and whatever. She was the Baal Tshuva. And I thought, I didn't see this anywhere, but this gives maybe another insight as to why we read the whole parasha of Hagar and Ishmael on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the time. Now, we always think of Rosh Hashanah as we read it because it says, Ba'asher Husham, that you should judge Ishmael where he's holding at that time. But you see from this Kliyakar that once you understand who Hagar and Ishmael became, that they became the ultimate, in many ways, Baalei Tshuva, and therefore we read this on Rosh Hashanah because it gives us hope. If Hagar, who is already going off to do some Mitzrayim, to do Avodah Zarah, is able to make a complete U-turn and come back to be Keturah, who is this amazing Tzadeket, then there's certainly hope for everybody to go further. So these three insights, the idea that Keturah was there as a to get rid of Pesoilus, the idea that she was rebuilding the world, and the idea that she was the ultimate Baal Tshuva, gives three insights as to why we're reading about Keturah. Let me slip in a little halachic note before we finish on some more mystical ideas. Let me slip in a halachic note here. We touched before on the idea that Keturah, the B'nai Keturah, were on a higher madrega and they were chayav in Brit Milah. Look at the Rambam in number 15. Amru Chachamim she B'nai Keturah shehem zara shel Avram. The B'nai Keturah is Rambam and Hilchos Malachim, who are the children of Avram. Sheba achar Yishmael, who came after Yishmael v'Yitzchak, chayav in B'milah. They're chayav in Milah. Even though Yishmael had a Brit Milah, he wasn't in the Brit of Milah. And therefore his children were not chayv according to the Torah and Bris Milah. V'hoyl v'nis aravu, but now unfortunately since everybody's all mixed up, we can't tell the difference between a ben Keturah and a ben Yishmael. So now hayoyim b'nei Yishmael b'nei Keturah, they're all mixed up. He's chayv hakol b'milah b'shmini. Now according to the Torah, everybody, both the b'nei Yishmael and the b'nei Keturah, end up being chayv. It's a sophic. I suppose it's a sophic daraita. The Torah wants them to have a milah, but in essence, only the B'nai Keturah are chayv in milah. The B'nai Yishmael are not chayv in milah, except for the fact that they're now mixed up with everybody else. Based on this Rambam, the Pisrei Tshuva on Shulchan Aruch in number 16 says an amazing thing. Look at this. We paskin that a non-Jew is not kosher to be a moel. Obviously, he's not one of the B'nai Jewish. You need a Jewish moel. You need a Yiddish moel. Says the Pisrei Tshuva. Look at number 16. Aval oivid kachavim is not. Ayin b'shara melech, shikas of the pshitas de ladas ha-rambam. Says, according to the shita of the Rambam, de b'nei Keturah, af bizman hazeh chayavim b'mila, even bizman hazeh de chayavim b'mila, kesherim heim l'moil. You can have a Mr. Ben Keturah, if we knew who they were, which we don't, but if you could isolate the Ben Keturah, he could be a moil for a Yiddish baby. He could be a moil for a Jewish baby. Da ha-moil yomul. He's someone who is chayah ha-moil yimoil. Someone who is chayav to be bris, yimol, he's the one that can give a bris. Siv. Hamol yimol. Mandamol, yimol, someone who has a bris can give a bris. The hamol, and he has a bris, minatara, b'nei ben keturah. The gam hu bichlal, ois brisi tishmor. He is included in es brisi tishmor. Interesting. The ben keturah is on such a darga in some way that we were able to identify who they were. That they will be able to be a mole for a Jewish baby. And I brought you in number 17, a genius piece from the Tzitz Eliezer on the Ezer Waldenberg, who passed away just a few months ago in Yerushalayim. He breathes from this, and he gives us an insight into a whole different story in Parsha Shmos, which now we can understand better. Have a look what he says here. What has Sipoira got to do with anything? Remember the story in Parsha Shmos? There's two or three lines. when Moshe Rabbeinu is attacked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and somehow or other they need to get rid of this situation by doing a bris milah. So Tzipora steps into the breach. She mouths the baby, the machlokas, whether it's Gershon or Eliezer, but she mouths the baby and she saves the day. Okay, and Moshe Rabbeinu is saved. Why on earth is Tzipora giving a bris milah to the baby? We don't see that women are moelim, moelois, whatever. We don't see that. Have a look here. He says the following. A woman is not chayav to give a bris milah to her son. Rak hachayv alav, the chayv is on the father. How can she save the day by marrying the baby? Because liyashidim can raya the shita of Rambam. You see here an indication from the Pasha Shmos for the shita of the Rambam in Perik Yud Melachim. The Svira Lei, he holds the Bnei Keturah chayavim b'milah. That the Bnei Keturah were chayavim b'milah. Or Midian who be Bnei Keturah, and Midian is one of the Bnei Keturah. And who is Tzipora? Midianis. She's a Midianis. But Tzipora she haisa Midianis haisa chayavis b'milah. She was chayav in bris milah. The b'nei noach loy matzino hachiluk ben ha'ish le'isha. With b'nei noach, we don't see any difference between the chayavim of being on the men or being on the women. All the b'nei keturah, the men and the women, are chayav to make sure that their children have a bris milah. U'mipnei zeh gam aleh chal hachiyuv kamoy le'moshe. So she had a chayav just as much as an ordinary Jewish wife would not have a chayav the same way as a husband to make sure the baby has a milah. But she was not an ordinary Jewish wife. She was a Midianist by origin. Therefore, she had this special chiyuv. The gamhi bichlal ha'oinesh. Therefore, she was included in the oinesh for not marrying the baby, and therefore she was able to save the day. Which I think is a genius piece of the Tzitz Eliezer of putting all of these midrashim together in a halachic way to explain why Tzipora is able to do what she did in Sefer Shmos. Let's just finish maybe on the last note. With this Shemi Shmuel, I won't have chance to do 19 and 20, but have a look at number 18 and we'll finish with this. It's not to know what's really going on with the Bnei Keturah, because you have to look at this Ariza. She'inyan Bnei Keturah haya kedei lahoyled hadinim hatakifim. There had to be an element of din, of sharp din. Asher haya roya Yitzchak shehaya din lahoytziyah. Yitzchak was midas hadin. And really, these children of the Bnei Keturah should have been produced by Yitzchak. But it would have been too sharp a din on whatever this means to do that. Because Yitzchak was already a sharp a din, it would have been too much for the world. Therefore, these Bnei Keturah who represent Midian, din. Midian means din, midin. Yeah? They came from Avram. Shelo yiyu kol kach kashos. So they wouldn't be quite so harif. Had these children, which represent din, come out of Yitzchak, would have been too much for the world. They would have been nechra. The world would have been nechrav. It would have been destroyed, and it would have been och and they. But they came out from Avram Avinu. Therefore, Midian and Moav heim shnei mini koichas ra'im miskalfin. So now you understand, Midian and Moav play a very important part in the future of the Jewish people through the Chumash and through the Tanakh, specifically in Sefer Shoftim, when you look at, we were fighting against Midian and against Moav. Now you understand who these people are, they're opposites. Moav, Moshech Letaiva, how is Moav produced? Through the incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughters. That is the negative chesed, if you like, le'umas midas Avram chesed de kedusha. That Avram has a chesed of kedusha, and Moav is, if you like, the antithesis of the chesed of kedusha. It's a chesed of tumah, and in fact, the word chesed, we see the word chesed used in Parshas Kedoshim for incest. And the word chesed is used for an illicit sexual relationship. So we see here that they are, if you like, the antithesis of the chesed of Avram. Midian Moshech leriv, umadoin kina v'sina, and Midian, who are the most aggressive and fighting people, le'umas midata shel Yitzchak gvuras kedusha. And therefore the din of kedusha in Yitzchak has its antithesis in this negative din in Midian. Uba'ashe teva shel zeh Moshech liyamin. The teva shel zeh Moshech lesmal. And since one is if you like, extreme negative chesed, and one is extreme negative din, the heim anasim mispardim, and they're opposite extremes. Hipuch Avram v'Yitzchak, they're the opposites of Avram and Yitzchak, who had a kedusha chesed and din. Shehokolim eisha b'mayim u'mayi b'eisha. I don't exactly understand what that is. Ba'alkein Midian and Moav le'olam sonim zeh. Now you understand why Midian and Moav were always themselves at loggerheads with each other and always at war with each other. The only time they ever made peace with each other is when they had a common enemy, which was us. But Midian and Moav, therefore, are coming from completely opposites. Midian is an extreme negativity of din, and Moav is an extreme negativity of chesed, and therefore never the twain, if you like, shall meet. And therefore, again, these Arizals are on a level which is far, far deeper than I understand and far deeper than we're able to deal with in half an hour. But nevertheless, hopefully, it gives us a lot of insights. I brought you in 1920 this idea of the shame tumor that Avram gave to the B'nai HaPilakshim, that he sent them out east. That's something that we haven't got time for now. But hopefully, certainly in Pshat and Drash and a little bit of Remez and Soid, we've got more of an insight into who Keturah was and why she is of extreme interest to it in the parsha. Good challenge.
Thank you.